Welcome to week two, lesson two. In this module, you'll be reading several interesting pieces. The major linkage between these readings is the question, can companies be successful and sustainable without government intervention? Where does private enterprise stop and government intervention begin? The first article is entitled Social Entrepreneurs Correcting Market Failures. This case study describes three different entrepreneurs and the business models they created to address specific market failures that they identified. Each business leader pinpointed groups of consumers who needed goods or services but were unable to access them, either because they could not afford to pay the full market price, or the producers simply overlooked them because they represented too small a market segment. Each entrepreneur sought to create a business model to correct the market failure without relying on government intervention, while still earning a return on investment. Food for thought for all you entrepreneurs out there. The second case study is Burt's Bees, a company that produces a large assortment of products with close to 0% synthetic ingredients. The most popular product is their lip balm. Perhaps some of you may have tested this product. The company was founded by Roxanne Quimby and her beekeeping colleague, Bert Chavitz, two very quirky non-business school professionals. Largely by trial and error, they identified a market niche, created a sustainable company and suite of products, and actually made quite a lot of money doing it. Burt's Bees is another one of those companies that was very successful and sustainable at the same time. The third item is the video that describes probably the most successful international agreement to deal with a global environmental catastrophe. The agreement is called the Montreal Protocol on Substances that Deplete the Ozone Layer, or simply the Montreal Protocol. In a nutshell, you will learn how a group of chemicals called CFCs played a key role that enabled extremely safe and successful innovations in air conditioning, refrigeration, fire suppression, and many other highly valued applications. Yet it was suspected and then largely demonstrated that these same CFCs had some unintended consequences, depleting the ozone layer in the stratosphere. The Montreal Protocol required intense negotiation with climate scientists and environmental experts, international chemical companies, major customers, and government agencies. In the end, it resulted in a binding agreement signed by nearly 200 countries that resulted in a phased reduction in production, consumption, and distribution of these chemicals. It is still in force today, and it's worth learning about it and the lessons that it can teach us about other global environmental issues. Thanks, and I hope you have a good week.